This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. I'm Caleb Brown. President Biden wants to levy a massive new tax on America's wealthiest households and specifically tax the unrealized gains on assets held by those taxpayers. Cato's Chris Edwards says no other country does this, and such a plan would be a disaster for exactly the kinds of investments that keep companies and economies strong.
In the United States of America, we tax income. We tax capital gains when people sell assets. And what is Joe Biden proposing that is so, you know, it seems like a small thing, but it's a radical thing to tax unrealized capital gains, taxing assets that have not been sold?
Well, in the Biden administration's budget for 2023, the administration proposes a new 20% minimum tax for billionaires, people who have wealth over $100 million, according to the administration. They would be subject to a 20% tax on their income, plus all their unrealized capital gains, believe it or not. So if you had a wealthy person, for example, an entrepreneur who had $2 billion in wealth, and she had, let's say, her business earnings went up by $200 million this year, unrealized, it's a private business holding. The Biden administration says she should be subject to a 20% tax on that $200 million and the unrealized increase in her business valuation. I've said this is a completely crackers tax strategy. No other high income country, no other country in the world that I know taxes unrealized capital gains like this in their income tax systems. In fact, most other high income countries tax capital gains lower than we do on realized gains. The U.S. federal state tax on capital gains at the top end now is 29%. The average across all OECD countries is just 19%. So we already heavily tax capital gains, and the Biden administration has invented this new and complex and damaging way of taxing unrealized capital gains as well. It makes no sense.
How does that change the behavior of business owners and people who own assets, chunks of businesses?
Well, if you're substantially jacking up capital gains tax rates, you're going to be moving investors and entrepreneurs away from riskier, potentially high growth companies and startup companies to safer assets. I mean, right now, the U.S. economy and American innovation relies on the fact that many millionaires and billionaires, Bill Gates and Elon Musk and many others, take a substantial chunk of their wealth and they invest in an array of startup companies, renewable energy companies and space exploration companies. If you hike taxes on capital gains a lot, which the Biden administration would, a lot of those millionaires and billionaires are just going to be taking their money and putting it into safer assets. So that would be really bad for the economy. We want wealthy people to invest in risky startup businesses. We want them to invest and hold those investments over many years. By raising taxes on capital gains, you would be encouraging immediate consumption and not investment. That's the opposite of what we want from wealthy investors.
And we understand that investment in businesses occurs in order to increase its value. It's as simple as that, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, United States has, as I've written in a Cato study last year, about 330,000 so-called angel investors. These are wealthy people who take huge risks to invest in startup businesses. And only about 1 in 10 of these startups that they invest in, pays off in a big way. They often invest, say, in a new battery company or a new solar power company. They hold that investment for 5 or 10 years. Then 1 in 10 of these pays off, and then they sell. And they get a big capital gain. If you hike capital gains taxes, you are disincentivizing people to invest in these risky startup businesses. So again, it would completely undermine America's high-tech industry and innovation society.
When businesses make big investments in improving the value of the company overall. How much of that increased value do entrepreneurs ultimately capture?
Well, there's actually an academic study on this by an economist, Nordhaus, who found he did a big macroeconomic model of the U.S. economy and found that over time, entrepreneurs themselves, inventors, only capture about 2% of the value of innovations to the economy. So when Elon Musk or another entrepreneur or Intel Corporation makes an advance, say, in semiconductor chips, you know, they earn some extra profits, which is good because they did the innovation. But ultimately, the extra profits they earn only represent 2% of the overall value to society of these innovations. So this is important because it means that, you know, tax policy, if it disincentivizes innovation at the margin here, it's going to cause a big a loss to investors and entrepreneurs, but it'll cause a much bigger loss to society in general if innovation slows down.
This looks like a test because we've heard this trial balloon of this kind of idea being floated for many years. I can recall it being floated during the Obama administration. The income tax, as we think of it, originally only affected some of the highest earning Americans. And so to me, it looks like, well, once we get it sorted out with these folks, we're going to start moving it down in terms of income. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yeah, that's a likely possibility. The Biden administration has proposed a big tax on unrealized gains of wealthy people. But this would be a terrible precedent to add to the tax code. So can you imagine if this goes down to the middle class that, you know, every value increase in your house every year, or every value increase in your 401k plan or any other investments you hold, the government goes bang and nails you on the increase every year on your tax return. It makes no sense. And think about the injustice of this, because the, you know, of course, asset values, you know, drop all the time. So, you know, one year, let's say a high-tech entrepreneur, their business gains in value, you know, $1 billion, let's say, and they pay this giant new Biden tax. But the next year, markets might move against that entrepreneur. Their business might lose $1 billion in value, and the government's not going to give them a refund. So there's this asymmetry here, which is completely unfair and which would really disincentivize, again, investment in risky business assets.
Well, and also it seems like a speculative belief that a company is going to deliver a lot of value at some point. You know, sometimes those investments don't pan out, like investing in a new drug or a new kind of technology. A lot of times those investments don't pan out, but markets respond on the possibility that that technology will pan out. And, you know, as those companies could get hit with massive taxes, and then the technology might not work.
Yeah, I argued in an article on the Cato website that unrealized gain is not income. What unrealized gain is the market saying there's a prospect here for future flows of income. And I argue, well, those future flows of income will be taxed when earned. So if you own stock in a company and, you know, the share value goes up this year, it means that investors are expecting the company years down the road to earn higher profits. But if the company does end up earning higher profits, it'll be taxed under the corporate income tax. Then it'll be taxed under the individual dividend tax when the earnings are paid out to shareholders. But often markets are wrong, of course. We don't know whether corporations will actually make those profits in the future, and often they don't. So taxing gain now for profits we don't even know are going to come through makes absolutely no sense. And so I said no other high-income country does this. No other country taxes capital gains like this. We've never taxed unrealized capital gains over the century we've had an income tax. I think the Biden proposal, it's frankly just an effort to gin up class warfare leading into the election. I don't think this is a serious proposal, but nonetheless, you know, we have to take it seriously because, you know, it's a real threat to American markets and American innovation. I think if this was if it was actually enacted by a Democratic Congress. I think it would be quickly repealed as soon as Republicans took back Congress. Europe, over a dozen countries in Europe used to have annual wealth taxes, which are a similar sort of thing, and they were virtually all repealed because the Europeans found these taxes are so economically damaging and they're almost impossible to properly administer.
Chris Edwards directs tax policy studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and give a rating to the Cato Daily Podcast on your podcast platform of choice, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.